Alma chapter 19. We continue in this chapter talking about the story of King Lamoni. After he had been laid up for 2 days, or laid as if he was dead for 2 days, and his family is about to have a funeral for him. And the queen, therefore, calls for Ammon. And she says in verse 4, "Thou hast power to do many mighty works in God's name." You see, she already knows understands where the power comes from, and from this we continue to see that the people of King Lamoni had been already prepared to by the Lord to receive the words. See, again, as we begin to see why we're told in the Doctrine and Covenants that all the missionaries of the Lord do is go harvest the things that He has prepared or that He has grown up to receive the word. In verse 5, we see that the queen has a lot of faith in God already, and she believes that her husband still lives, and she receives this from her faith in the Lord, not from her faith in Ammon. And we see in verse 6 that Ammon had been prepared through his experience with Alma to know that that King Lamoni is just going through something similar to what Alma had, and that the Lord is committing himself to the Lord and breaking the hold that the devil has on him. So Ammon says that he says that the king lives, and the queen says that she believes, and then we have to ask ourselves, well, why does she believe? And it says here that she had, there was nothing, no reason for her to believe other than his word. Well, again, we see that the queen had already learned to feel the Spirit, and she'd already began to put trust in the Spirit, obviously, before that. Again, these people had been raised up and had already been looking towards God. Well, then, in verses 11 through 13, the king awakes. He wakes on the next day, and he immediately praises God, and he bears his testimony of the Savior. And so again, we see that he had been focusing on the Savior throughout all this. And later on, we will see that Alma, during his time, was focusing on the Savior. Again, that is exactly where we're supposed to be focusing in our lives, is upon the Savior. Well, in verses 14 through 16, as the king and queen and Ammon begin to talk about all this, they all begin to, again, they all look to the Savior. They see the goodness of God. They see some of their own sins, and they look to him, and they all fall to the ground again. Now, what is going on here, we have to say, what is going on is they are focusing on the Lord and the kingdom of God, and so they're shutting out this world. They are doing exactly what the Lord has always told us to do, and that is looking forward to the kingdom of God. Don't look, and to do that you have to go through the gate, which is the Savior. So look in that direction and forget everything of the world, and that's what they're truly doing, and that's why, and so they're believing that. And this is brought on by beholding and feeling the goodness of God. In fact, we'll find that the most visions that are mentioned in Scripture are brought on because man is pondering on the goodness of God. Well, only Abish does not, a servant named Abish does not fall down. And she had already been converted to the Lord, and because of a tremendous vision that her father had had. And now we learn that the Lord was working with all people, anyone that'll turn to Him. It doesn't matter where they're at, what church they belong to, or what's going on. The Lord is doing His work with all His children and anyone who will turn to Him. Well, she thinks that if she runs and tells everyone else to come and see what's happened, that will inspire them to have a hope in Christ and have them have a desire to turn to the Lord. So she brings this big crowd, and the crowd starts gathering around, and the people there begin to reason as men do. and they start to assume things according to what their eyes see, meaning, oh, this looks like some evil's happened here because all these people are dead or laying around, so they think it's an evil or it's a punishment. Well, see, they're all just reasoning according to their own head. Well, notice that, and what the reason here then is it's, oh, this is terrible, this is punishment or evil. Well, the point is that is how we read Scripture, and that shows our own evil mind or lack of love in our minds, and that's why we can't understand Scripture, because it's like when we studied Zizram. We're sitting there thinking, oh, he's sure getting his just desert, or he's getting the revenge is being poured out on him by the Lord, instead of looking to see the great awakening that's happening to him. Even in the story of King Lamoni, we're thinking he's such an evil man, these terrible things have to come on him. Well, they're saying this is not an evil thing, this is a great awakening, and we should look at it that way. And when the Lord brings his destruction on people, it's not just for us to say, oh, hooray, the Lord is taking revenge on these people and they sure deserve it. It's to say, no, he's trying to turn these people to them and look for the love portion of God, not the evil hate portion of the devil. And it shows how much the devil has control of our hearts, even when we read Scripture, that we refuse to see the love of the Lord in all these stories. Well, some among the crowd were those who were at the waters of Cebus and were scattering the flocks there that Ammon had contended with. And so one of them draws his sword and decides to kill Ammon. And when he does that, he immediately falls dead, because, again, we know that the Lord had promised Messiah that he would protect Ammon. Well, again, in verse 24, everyone can still continue to reason as man. They want to figure it out. They don't want to talk to the Spirit. They don't want to turn to the Lord. And some say that Ammon, meaning a man, is a great spirit. See, they still have this hang up on looking to men, and they can't just feel that when they say spirit, just like we do today, we truly don't believe in feeling a spirit. We start looking to leaders of churches and government and so forth. We want men there, and they look to men. Oh yes, we can believe in the great spirit now if we can see him there, and it's Ammon. Well, others say he's from the devil, and they start saying how terrible he is. And some of them, at least, the reason is men, but they at least have honest hearts. For they say that he is from God, and then they say in verse 27 that it was the great spirit or God that had always attended the Nephites, who had ever delivered them out of their hands. And that's real interesting, because then we can see that the Lord even testifies to people who are evil, meaning the Lamanites had always known there was something special about those Nephites. They had always known that the Lord, that in their hearts they could feel that the Lord was really on the Nephite side. And so they knew this, and so the Lord, again, even testifies to the evil. And as people become more and more evil, they have to harden their hearts and reject the truth. Well, some of these were honest in heart, and so they had been prepared, and they'd then be prepared to be honest with themselves. Ken, that's the hardest thing in repentance, is to recognize the sin and recognize the error and then admit it and move on. Well, anyway, they really begin to be contentious over this and argue about what's going on. And this really hurts Abish. She feels really bad because they're not caring about turning to the Lord or asking the Spirit or talking about God. All they want to do is reason as men do, and it really hurts her. So she goes over and raises the queen up. And the queen, again, immediately praises Jesus. Notice her life is focused, her whole experience was focused on the Savior. How many times do we have to say this? It is in Scripture, it happens over and over again. It is telling us to focus on the Lord. Is everything we do focused on the Lord? Is it or isn't it? Or is it like for most, in everything they do in their life, they don't think of including the Savior. When they do think of including the Savior, they think the Savior will be no fun, or the Savior will tell them to do what they don't want to do, and so on and so on. They don't want the Savior in their life, and every decision they make is not focused on the Savior. But here again, we see over and over, those who are righteous focus everything on the Lord. Well, she then sees this contention, so she goes over and raises the king, and he begins to preach to the people. And after he begins to preach to them, they believe. Well, note here now that they need a man, even as today they need a man. They need men to preach. But again, you know, there is a uh, the Lord still requires us to use the Spirit, and even when we choose men, meaning the devil loves to send out all his men, but the Lord will send out his men also if that's what the people need to be converted. And again, that's why we received the great explanation of the high priesthood or the high priest in a previous chapter, because to the Lord will give every man whatever he needs or every opportunity to turn to the Lord in whatever degree he will. And obviously your reward or your growth is going to be limited based on if you cannot receive the Spirit in full. But again, the Lord has the lower kingdoms and other places for anyone who will turn to him in any capacity. And we've talked a little bit about that, but again, this is not what the Lord wants to focus on. He wants everyone to return to him. He wants everyone to be a high priest. He wants everyone to receive the Spirit, and he's going to set the ideal. And that's what he wants you to do. And but then, because he is loving, he will give you any other support that you need if that requirement is too high for you. Then he'll therefore give you another way of receiving it, up until even the last day, when you'll just come face to face with Christ, and then you must decide whether or not you want to follow him at that day and go through whatever you have to in the spirit world, or whether you just want to be cast off. He'll give you every chance to come unto the Lord and receive him in varying degrees of knowledge, or we could say in varying degrees of faith. And many begin to see angels, and we have to ask ourselves, do we have that today? But all through Scripture, we see this that the people saw angels, and the angels attend these spiritual experiences. But we don't have that today because we're not truly in the Spirit, and we're truly not focused on the Lord as we claim to be. Well, it then says that the people... these people did want to listen, and they did repent, and they were able then to be baptized, and they did become a righteous people, and they were able to establish a church of God amongst them. And because they were righteous, then the Spirit was poured out on them. And again, we ask today, do we feel the Spirit poured out on us as a people? Do we feel His Spirit? No, we have to replace it in our church meetings with what we call sentimentality, so that we can feel something, so that we can feel, because remember, the Spirit will talk to our emotions and our feelings. So we go to church, and then we have things that strike up our sentiment so that we can say that is the Spirit. But no, the Spirit is much stronger than that. It's a spirit of truth. It's not a spirit of sentiment. As it carries us away, we begin to see angels, and we begin to have the veil lifted. Well, this chapter concludes with this conclusion that the Lord's arm is extended to all people who repent and believe on His name. Again, the Lord will prepare a way for His word to get to anyone, anywhere in this world. And we better know that the scattered tribes of Israel and those that are His true followers of Christ are throughout this world at this day. And He is preparing them to receive His word and preparing them to be gathered at the great and second gathering that He will have to create Zion. And again, the point is, we have no right to think that as a church or as men that we have to limit or say who is really receiving the Spirit of the Lord and who the Lord is really working with. He will work with all man who will receive Him, as it says here. And that the requirement to receive Him and to look to Him is that you desire to repent and that you believe in Him. I fail to repeat that the requirement is not that you want to come unto any church and belong to any church or listen to any man or any leader of a church. It is that you look to the Lord, desire to repent, and desire to come unto Him and believe in Him.